Patrick. Home sweet home.
All right, good morning. You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. It's 11:05 and time for Chamber Radio weather. It's currently 54 degrees with rain, fog, mist, all kinds of fun stuff going on out there. But we definitely could use the rain out here. For the rest of the day today, heavy rain with a high of 60 degrees. For tonight, continued rain and fog, low of 48. For tomorrow, Wednesday, looks like another day of rain, mostly after a holiday parade coming up on Sunday. That is Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning. You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. It's time for Some Things About Money. I'm Michelle Heide, and with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton, Heide, and Associates. So today is Giving Tuesday, and we have a special guest with us here today. But before we kick things off, I know Joe wants to give a quick update on the markets.
Well, yes, I do, Michelle. Good morning. Now, taking a look at the markets, after being down most of the morning, currently the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 18 points at 19,116. The S&P 500 is up about 430. The S&P is now at 2206. The NASDAQ is up 19 to 5388. Over in Europe, the FTSE happens to be down over 0.5%, but the DAX and the CAC are both up. The DAX is up about 0.2%. The CAC is up 0.8%. Taking a look at oil prices have been under some pressure as it appears that Iran is resisting the output limits in the negotiations. Oil is currently down $1.80 a barrel to $45.28. Over gold, gold's sliding as the market's looking forward to that Fed rate increase next month. Gold's currently at $1,187.80. That's down $3 an ounce. Had been down much more earlier on today. The 10-year Treasury edging a little bit higher as investors are digesting a lot of data out there, including consumer confidence, which hit its highest since July of 2007. The 10-year yield right now is currently at 2.347%, which pushes bond prices lower. So that's the update, Michelle.
Well, thank you, Joe. So as I mentioned before Joe gave the market update, I'm very excited to have a special guest here with us today. Nicole Smith is a volunteer with Room to Read. She actually helped create the Central New Jersey chapter back in 2011, so 5 years ago, which is actually interesting because it was 5 years ago that Giving Tuesday came about. And for those of you that don't know, Giving Tuesday is all about celebrating and supporting giving and philanthropy. It was started, actually created by the team at the Belfer Center for Innovation and Social Impact at the 92nd Street Y in New York City. And since then, through the power of social media and connections, has just become a huge day, almost as big as Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and now Giving Tuesday, which in my opinion is Giving Tuesday is more important than Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but that's just my opinion. So good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So let's see, where to begin? Why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in Room to Read, and then we'll talk, obviously, start digging into what Room to Read is all about.
Okay, great. Thanks. I was raised in a family that valued volunteering, and my parents were always volunteering and dragging us along and exposing us to different things. And as I grew up and had my own family, I volunteered, continued to volunteer, and wanted to instill the same value within my own children. And right about the time my youngest was about two, I learned about Room to Read, and the New Jersey chapter was forming, and it was a perfect time for me to jump in with both feet. I loved the message. I loved the business background of the founder, and literacy is a gift, and I just jumped in and have been going strong ever since.
Nope, absolutely. Yes, you've gotten to meet one of my heroes, John Wood. A lot of people say, oh, I want to meet, you know, this big celebrity, blah, blah. I'm like, you got your picture taken standing next to John Wood.
I know. I've met him 3 or 4 times. He's such a great guy.
Exactly. And I meant to bring his books with me today so we could take a picture with the books. But he's written a couple of books. And you mentioned last time you and I spoke that he's in the process of writing another book. I don't know how he finds the time to write yet another book. But maybe our listeners are probably wondering, well, who is John Wood and what is this all about?
Exactly. John Wood is the founder of Room to Read. He was an executive with Microsoft. He worked for Microsoft for about a decade, and he took a much-needed vacation to go trekking in Nepal. And while he was in the mountains, he ran across or met the local headmaster of the school who invited him to come tour the school. John was an avid reader and said, of course, I'd love to see the school. And when they got there, he realized there was not really a school, more like mud, dirt, dilapidated walls, no books or pencils or anything. And he was astounded at how these children could learn in such an environment, which, of course, they can't. Mm-hmm. And the headmaster said to him, in Nepal, we are too poor to afford education, but until we have education, we will always remain poor. And then he asked John, maybe someday, sir, you will return with books. And John did. He returned a year later with 3,000 books that they hauled up the mountain for these children. It didn't matter that they were in English. These right. children obviously didn't read English, but they had never seen children's picture books before. They were elated, and John had basically an epiphany and said, you know what? I think I might be able to make a difference in many children's lives around the world. He quit his job at Microsoft and started Room to Read, and here we are 15 years later, and 10 million children already have been helped by Room to Read.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, the whole story, you know, is amazing. Just to, you know, someone executive level at Microsoft, you know, having that experience in Nepal and then just saying, you know what, I'm just going to give up all the Microsoft and start this nonprofit, which is hugely successful in helping, you know, so many children around the world. It's just unbelievable. Why don't we take our first break there, and then we can really dig into more about Room to Read and some of the things that you've been doing in helping the chapter out locally. So you're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Absolutely. All right. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Again, this is Michelle Heide, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton, Heide & Associates, and with our special guest, Nicole Smith, who is a volunteer with Room to Read.
And I was just talking with Michelle and Nicole about something as it relates to Some Things About Money. Now, Tom Corley, who is an accountant and financial planner, surveyed 233 wealthy individuals, mostly self-made millionaires, on their daily habits, and he compared their answers to responses from 128 poor individuals or those with less than $35,000 of annual gross income. Well, a whopping 88% of the rich people in Corley's research say they devote 30 minutes or more each day to education and self-improvement through reading. Now, most do not read for entertainment. They prefer biographies, histories, and self-help books. But if you enjoy reading a good novel, that could help too. But science shows that reading for pleasure can also boost your career. And Corley's point holds for many kinds of narratives. So if you're interested in being successful, one of the seven things you must do is read.
Absolutely. And we all know the book nerd that I am, and one of my vices, although it's not really a vice, is, you know, books, lots and lots of books. And as Nicole and I have talked about before, even though there are things like Kindle and e-readers and all those things, there's nothing better than holding a book in your hands and sitting down to read a good book. But it's always funny because if you look at my nightstand, there's a wide range of books. Of course, there's, you know, business-related, there's self-help, there's novels, there's things that are completely unrelated to reality.
And I've heard that before. Personally, I get a lot of self-satisfaction out of holding a fork.
Well, actually, that's a perfect segue into our Recipes Worth Reading cookbook that we're debuting tomorrow night at the Princeton Public Library. I love to read. I love to cook. I love to cook for my family. And one of the great things about being a volunteer for Room to Read is everybody gets to use their own creativity to promote Room to Read. And I decided, why not collect recipes from my friends, local chefs, local restaurants, and create a cookbook out of it. And so we did that. And we are launching the cookbook tomorrow night at the Princeton Public Library from 6:30 to 8 p.m. We're having different sampled recipes. We'll have a couple chefs there, a couple of different eateries that have offered recipes and are also bringing some goodies. And we're very excited to launch that. And I need to give a shout out to the Grape Escape, which is the winery in Dayton, New Jersey. They paid for all the printing costs of our cookbook so that 100% of the proceeds from the cookbook can go to Room to Read programs.
Wow, that's great. So tomorrow night at the Princeton Public Library. And then if folks are not able to get out, how can they get a copy of the cookbook for themselves and to give out as gifts? Because it is the time of year when we're all looking for those perfect gifts for the people that already have everything else.
Great. They're going to be available for sale at Savory Spice in Princeton, which is right across the street from the library. Mm-hmm. They can also contact me, and I will find a way to get it to them. My name, again, is Nicole Smith, and you can reach me at rtrnicolesmith@gmail.com.
Excellent. Excellent. So I'll have to make sure. I'm not able to get there tomorrow night, but I'll have to make sure to get a couple copies of the book because I love to cook. I love to read, and like you just said, and it's fun now that my kids are getting a little bit older because they like to participate and help as well. So
they are $25 each, and there's over 150 recipes in the cookbook. The first recipe in each section is a native recipe of the country that Room to Read operates in. We operate in 10 countries, so the first recipe is a native recipe of that region, and then the rest are typical recipes from the American palate.
Very cool. They
are $25, and for each dozen we sell, we can send a girl to school for a year.
That's great. Actually, I just had one of those little light bulb moments. Our local Rotary clubs are thinking about doing something in the first quarter of next year where each club represents a certain country, and we're thinking about doing some sort of a tasting. Oh. And so that might be a good thing to do, is to get copies of the cookbooks and make the recipes for each country.
Huh. That would be great.
I have to remember that.
Perfect idea, for sure.
All right. And Nicole has done a lot of speaking at a lot of the Rotary clubs, other nonprofits, different organizations to spread the word about Room to Read, but also about philanthropy and volunteering and all the different things that you can do. Because as we know, or maybe some of you don't know, Part of giving back isn't necessarily just writing a check out of your checkbook. There are many ways to give back to your communities. It can be through volunteering, actually getting out and volunteering, you know, ranging from, you know, collecting books to donating your time, reading to kids, whatever the case may be. You can donate to an organization or a group that has personally affected your life or someone that you know. You can do pro bono work. You know, that's something that Joe and I do in our profession because there are a lot of folks out there that, you know, financial literacy is a skill that we should all have, but it doesn't necessarily come firsthand to a lot of people. And so that's something that we're both very passionate about, both in educating kids about financial concepts and also adults. And it's kind of fun because sometimes when you educate the children, they in turn are educating their parents, which is really kind of fun. A lot of organizations let you give part of your paycheck on a regular basis to various organizations. It's interesting, when I was up on the Giving Tuesday website today, you can do a hashtag UN Unselfie and let, you know, let everyone know what you're doing in terms of giving back in your community. So I was a little bit late this year, but I'm definitely going to sign up to be a little bit more active in the whole Giving Tuesday concept for next year.
Well, my favorite
so many things to do.
Yes, my favorite gift giving advice for the holidays is a little poem that says, "Give them something they want, something they need, something to wear, and something to read," mm-hmm. which I think is ideal. But I would like to put a little twist on it, since my kids need nothing.
Right.
Would like to transition or twist that need into a need for someone else. So give something they want, maybe something someone else needs, something to wear, and something to read.
Oh, I like that.
So that's a nice twist. If it's you've got a tree at your church that has a giving tree at a preschool or church, you can grab those little gift items or go on to there's another really great local charity. I'm a charity freak, but it's called One Simple Wish. It's based mm-hmm. out of Trenton, and they grant wishes to foster children. So yeah. They've got a whole list on there, and you can pick what you want to give to. I'm gonna have my kids do that, I think.
No, that's another great organization. As you mentioned, there's so many out there, and I know on Thursday, the Chamber of Commerce, we're doing our annual holiday card club over at Stanton Ridge, and everyone brings an unwrapped gift that goes to the YMCA Angel Patrol, and there are just so many neat things to do. But I think it's especially important, as you mentioned, kids these days, especially kids in this area, don't always see or understand that where we live, it's not like this everywhere, especially in many parts of the world, and it's so important to start instilling the importance of giving back and helping others, again, through volunteering, through providing things that they need. I mean, our kids pick up their pencil and they load up their pack back every day, not even thinking twice about it, not realizing that there are some kids that would love to have, you know, the little nubby pencil that you're ready to throw away.
Exactly.
Or the book that you finished reading that, you know, that just sits on your bookshelf. Instead of having it sit on your bookshelf, why not have it get into the hands of someone who could use it, who maybe can't afford to buy books or who doesn't have an opportunity to get to their local library, things like that. So,
and there's so many studies that support volunteerism and giving back improves your health, improves your happiness, improves your well-being, and so it's a good habit to develop early on.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about Room to Read is we've had so much freedom and creativity. I like to say we have zero budget, but 100% freedom with creativity. And what I've tried to instill in the kids is kids today are very academically advanced. They, you know, AP classes out the wazoo. They mm-hmm. can recite poetry and all kinds of things, but they don't have a lot of the soft skills, the practical knowledge necessary for the future workforce.
Right.
So with the Room to Read things we organize, the kids get to come up with the concept, plan it, market it, organize it, run it, and they develop these valuable skills while helping others. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like giving them an assignment to do at school, but it's not school, so it makes it much more fun and rewarding, probably.
Yeah, it's just one of those great things, plus to add to your resume.
Right.
I do a lot of volunteering with Girl Scouts, too. I think Girl Scouts is a great way to give girls confidence, establish leadership, and Room to Read does that as well. One of the big differences of Room to Read is that they have social mobilizers. Social mobilizers are these women who act as a mentor and an advisor and a confidant, and they train these girls not only in helping tutor them with their academic subjects, but also helping them gain valuable life skills, decision-making, self-esteem, standing up for themselves, public speaking. So this is one of the key areas that Room to Read differentiates itself from a lot of the other literacy organizations out there. John Wood was one of the first social entrepreneurs, being that he had an executive background and a business background at a global company. He was able to take the concept of nonprofits and turn it into an entrepreneurship for good. And he was one of the first to do that. And now the entire industry is changing course to follow that model.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know it's so cool to see. It's amazing. The energy and the ideas that are out there nowadays, both at a corporate perspective and an individual perspective, but that push towards social entrepreneurship is huge. I was at a conference last year, and the CEO of Tom's, you know, the shoes where, you know, you buy one and you give one, which is such a great concept. Of course, I got a pair of shoes, but my daughter stole them and I have yet to wear them. But so many companies and organizations are embracing that. And it's so huge, you know, as far as looking at our kids and our future grandkids and generations to come, as far as all the important things going on around the globe. You know, world change starts with educated children, which is Room to Read's basically, you know,
slogan,
correct. Which is huge because it's so true. World change starts with educated children.
Well, John took the concept that he learned at Microsoft about setting bold goals and broad goals to make big change, and he applied that to global literacy. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to encourage children at a young age, give them the tools so they learn to read. Because if you don't learn to read, then you'll never be able to read to learn. So they want to focus on children and getting them in the habit of reading, learning to read with comprehension and fluency. And then the other portion I mentioned was the Room to Read has a focus on girls' education, keeping girls in school, because oftentimes girls are left behind. They don't go to secondary school because they have to walk too far to get there. They need to stay home and take care of the children or get the water or work the fields or earn money to basically feed the family, and they don't foresee the long-term benefit of staying in school where they can earn multiple times the amount of money and support the whole family if they just persevere and stay in school. Mm-hmm. It's a trade-off short-term for such a long-term gain, but they haven't been exposed to that kind of trade-off, and so they aren't aware of it, and Room to Read is trying to change the perception.
Absolutely. I know that Room to Read, the documentary Girl Rising, there was a Room to Read recipient in that documentary, and if you haven't seen that documentary, it's really a great documentary. I don't watch a lot of television, but when I do, it tends to be documentaries, because at least there's real life scenarios in many cases or real life issues that are being covered versus a lot of this, you know, reality TV nonsense, which I know a lot of people like because it's totally, you know, whatever. But it's always very interesting and very eye opening to see again, you know, as girls here in the U.S., you know, even when I was a kid, I remember, you know, my mom telling me, well, gee, when I was a child, it was, you know, you could grow up, you could be a nurse, a secretary.
A nun.
Or a teacher. Yeah, exactly. Those were your choices. And then when I was a kid, you know, the doors really started opening as far as the endless possibilities. And now looking at my daughter, who's in sixth grade, you know, I stupidly made the comment of, you can be anything you want. And she looks at me, well, why wouldn't I? You know, I'm like, wow, that's, you know, we've come such a long way. But as you mentioned, in other parts of the world, they're still, you know, so far behind where we've gotten. And at some point, you know, it'll be great to see them getting to where we are today and even even further out. So really some great stuff that's going on. We're going to have to take our bottom of the hour quick check of the news and the weather, and then we'll be back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Many have seen it as a settled law, but with a new president on his way to the White House, maybe all bets are off, as we hear from Sarah Jacobs.
President-elect Donald Trump tweeted this morning, there must be consequences for people who burn the American flag, possibly a year in jail or loss of citizenship. The Supreme Court ruled in 1989 flag burning is a form of free speech protected by the First Amendment.
Yesterday, Vice President-elect Mike Pence tells reporters,
it's going to be a busy week.
Pence advised advising reporters to buckle up for a busy week of announcements from the president-elect. Donald Trump today is reportedly going to be announcing that he's chosen the health policy consultant Seema Verma to be administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and U.S. Representative Tom Price to be Secretary of Health and Human Services. Late word that the government says the economy grew at 3.2% in the third quarter. This is USA Radio News.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. And there's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
The treatment doesn't get any better than what you receive at St. Jude. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
All right, it's 11:31 and time for ChamberRadio.com weather. It is currently 54 degrees with rain, fog, mist, kind of a gray day out there today. And it looks like for the rest of the day today, we are going to have some heavy rain with a high near 60 degrees. For tonight, rain likely. We have a low of, a low of 48 tonight. For tomorrow, looks like we'll also have rain for most of the day with a high near 57. Wednesday night, low around 49. Then things will clear out and we'll have partly sunny skies on Thursday with a high near 55. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 33. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 51. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 49. And then it looks like Sunday, there is a chance of rain, otherwise cloudy with a high near 46. That's 100inchamberradio.com weather. And we're back to some things about money here on 100inchamberradio.com. I don't know, Joe, if you want to just give a quick update on the markets?
Well, I could do that, Michelle. Why not? Let's take a look at the screen. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is sitting at 19,121, up 23.66. The S&P 500 is at 2206, up 4.94. The NASDAQ at 5389, and that's up 20.5 points. Europe, well, continue to be about the same. The FTSE's down 43 points, or 0.6%. The DAX is up 15, about 0.1%. The CAC up 0.8% at 35.98. Oil prices down $2.14 a barrel to $44.94. And looking at gold, and down now. Wow, $6.10 an ounce. That's down over 0.5% at 11.84.50. 10-year Treasury yield sitting at 2.341%.
Well, thank you, Joe. All right. So let's dig back into Room to Read here with Nicole Smith, who's a volunteer with the organization. So here on Giving Tuesday, we were talking a little bit during the break that there are some announcements that were recently made with Room to Read in terms of some matching contributions and something they have going on with IKEA. Tell
Correct.
Me more.
Great. Well, in honor of Giving Tuesday, Room to Read is and through tomorrow, I guess. Today's the 30th, right? No, tomorrow's the 30th.
Yeah. Right.
So getting my dates mixed up. But in honor of Giving Tuesday, Room to Read right now has a 2-to-1 match going on. So if you give, it basically turns over three times. So 2-for-1. So if you go to roomtoread.org and hit the donate button, you can triple your match or triple your gift by giving, which is a great idea. I like to give for teachers' gifts, little certificates. There's little cards you can even print online through the Room to Read website. I think they're still there. They just reorganized the website in October. I haven't had a chance to look around on every aspect of it, but they used to have these little printable e-cards you could send, which was really cute.
Well, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and then IKEA, they just announced that Room to Read is going to be one of the 5 children's charities in the IKEA Let's Play for Change. So we're looking at maybe being at the IKEA in Elizabeth to represent Room to Read, and they're going to give a portion of all toys and games to Room to Read and other charities.
Oh, that's
as
great.
Part of the holiday season. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So Room to Read is very good about developing global partnerships, and helping lots of people. I wanted to go back briefly to the books we talked about, because John's books are a great read for your book club, for your business club, or for a stocking stuffer, or for giving that avid reader a good book for the holidays. The first one he wrote was called Leaving Microsoft to Change the World, which he has done. Basically, he left Microsoft to start Room to Read, and it chronicles the first few years. It reads kind of like a startup book. I read it in, I think, a day and a half. It was really good.
Exactly, yeah. Me too.
And then he followed it up with Creating Room to Read, which talks about the first 10 years of him building the organization, bringing people on board, hiring the country managers. That's another place where Room to Read is very different from a lot of other organizations, is that he doesn't send a bunch of Americans in to boss people around. Room to Read is in 10 countries in Asia and Africa, and they are very adamant about hiring local people to run the countries, to run the programs. They speak the language, they know the culture, they know the ins and outs of the environment, and that's been very critical to the success of the organization. So Leaving Microsoft to Save the World by John Wood, Creating Room to Read by John Wood, and then the other two books I like to recommend by Nicholas Kristof, who has also featured Room to Read in his columns, are Half the Sky and A Path Appears. Those are all great reads, and they talk about a gazillion ways that you can get involved in your community or in the world to help people.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And when I saw him the other night in New York, he talked about his third book. I said, well, what's the book about? Right. Because a lot of times he's talked about writing his book GSD, which stands for Get Stuff Done, or there's another version for New Adults.
Okay.
But he did a whole GSD, a GSD TEDx talk in North Carolina a couple years ago. If you want to watch it, it's really good. And yeah, Room to Read has its own YouTube channel, so you can check out a bunch of videos about John, of him giving speeches, and but the GSD TED Talk TEDx Talk was really good.
Okay.
So he said, no, it's not about GSD, not Get Stuff Done. This book is more about mirroring purpose and profit. So I think it's really good, and so I'm excited to see where it goes, because yes, everyone has a job. It's called a job. It's work, but you can also volunteer on the side. But now with the whole movement of Pledge1%.org, a lot of companies, Atlassian, Salesforce, a lot of big companies are doing the Pledge 1%, where they pledge 1% of employee time, 1% of product, and 1% of profit to a charitable organization. So if an employee wants to volunteer, ETS in Princeton has just started this too, which they're a nonprofit as well. But if you want to volunteer your time, you can, instead of getting paid time off, you can get volunteer time off and log it as such in your timesheet. So those are some large movements that are taking place around the globe just to encourage volunteerism overall.
Absolutely. I think that's tremendous. I know in our office, and again, we're a very small office, but there's so many things that we're involved in on a regular basis. I mean, Tracy does the therapy dogs over at the hospital. Joe and I do Rotary, and I help with Room to Read when I can.
You do
I'd
a
like
lot.
To do more.
You do a lot. you make me look like a slacker.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Girls on the Run, all kinds of great stuff. And I think it's great to sense more of a movement now in companies, you know, rather than, you know, having their employees working all these long hours and this and that, actually giving them the opportunity to give back and have that count towards quote unquote work hours. Because as you mentioned earlier, when we give back, we feel better, we have a better sense of purpose, and that in turn can make us a better employee, a better person, you know, in general. So I think that that's huge. I love that.
Yeah. And it opens up huge opportunity. I tell people, if you work the soup kitchen, you could be standing next to the CEO of this company or that company. It's a good way to open connections. Maybe you're happy in your job. Maybe you're looking for a job. Maybe you're want to change jobs, but just getting out there and doing something you're passionate about opens you up to a whole new world of connections and people. Networking is a big deal right now. The San Diego chapter of Room to Read has 50 chapters around the world. The San Diego chapter is doing a networking for a cause next week. They're having a big fundraiser around networking, which is amazing. Yeah, so if you have any kind of interest, the first thing is finding what you're interested in, because you don't want to go volunteer at an animal shelter if you cannot stand dogs or pets. You've got to find something that excites you. So I volunteered for the soup kitchen because it was through my church. It was allowed me to get more involved with my church and in the community.
Right.
And then the Girl Scouts. My daughter's a Girl Scout. Your daughter's a Girl Scout. Was a Girl
right.
Scout and
right.
and has opened up opportunities there. And the nice thing this year is my Girl Scouts and Room to Read have kind of converged because the Girl Scout Global Action Award is focused on increasing girls' access to education.
Oh.
So Room to Read fits right in
Absolutely.
With that.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So I'm having a Peace Corps volunteer come talk to my Girl Scout troop next week.
Okay.
As part of that badge and
right.
to raise awareness among the Girl Scouts. So I just let one connection lead to the next, and I have more fun all the time learning things, meeting people, and like I said, it's a great way to network. Or if you're a student in college,
right.
Get out there, start meeting people. You never know where that connection's going to come from for your next job, your first job. I met one of my job connections waiting tables. So
right, exactly. You never know who you're going to run into. So the more you're out and about doing different things, and especially on a volunteer basis, you're out doing something that you enjoy doing, and you're with people that enjoy doing the same thing that you enjoy doing, so there's an immediate connection. And as you mentioned, it can lead to so many places. And actually, Nicole and I met through, it's kind of fun, a funny story, but I used to do an ad in Natural Awakenings, a little magazine, and she reached out to me, and as soon as I learned about Room to Read, we immediately had a connection because I love to read and just hearing about the organization, and then we met for coffee, and it was just like, just such an energy session, brainstorming and sharing ideas and everything, and then she came and spoke to our e-Rotary Club. And since then, like I said, she's out. It's been fun to watch Nicole out and about making tons of connections and just the energy around when she talks about Room to Read, because obviously it's something she is very passionate about. So she's got that purpose with a passion, which is huge. And that's what I'm trying to, again, I have young kids. They're not as young as they used to be. But in fifth grade and sixth grade, and really same thing, trying to instill in them, that purpose with passion and figuring out what they like to do and really having them run with it, whether it's through the activities they're involved in or the volunteer things that we do together and at school, just about everything. So it's so important.
And I don't always beat them with a stick and make them go with me. I do
right.
make them go with me to the soup kitchen, and they moan and cry and flop on the bed. But then we get there, and they come to attention and start helping. And I don't make them go all the time. I'm reasonable about it. But the other thing that my parents did a lot of, too, was lead by example.
Exactly.
We weren't always required to go or made to go, but we knew what they were up to. We knew what they were doing. It set an example. And then eventually I found my own route to doing all kinds of different things. And it's just when it's – when you're aware of it, then when it presents itself, then you're, oh, I know what that is, and you're ready to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, yes, at times kids can whine about things, but then because you see their little brains thinking, you're like, okay, even though they are complaining about doing this with me, you know that when they go to school tomorrow, they're going to tell their friends about how much fun they had helping out at such and such. And then when they're older, exactly, they may not always listen to us, but then as they get older and you see them start, doing those things on their own, as I'm sure, your parents were seeing with you and mine as well. So
yeah, and we went to go drop off some books at a soup kitchen in another town, and my daughter was with me, and we were driving through, and she starts looking around. She goes, "These houses aren't like the houses in our town." I'm like, "Yeah, we got out of the bubble.
Exactly.
There's a life out beyond the bubble, and it's good to get out. It's
Absolutely,
good to, you have to get out. So.
Yeah, I mean, you take a drive to the Camden Aquarium. And you get, if you accidentally get lost on one of those streets, you're like, we live in a bubble where we are. And it's important to see on a safe basis, other parts, even here in New Jersey, as well as.
Perspective is a good educator.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, of course, I have to bring up the question because there are people that ask the question, Room to Read is a global organization. And there are a lot of people out there that say, well, gee, why aren't they doing anything in the U.S.?
I agree. Literacy is a problem everywhere. It's a problem in the U.S. and it's a problem globally. And I asked John this, too, the other day, because when I was in California visiting my mother-in-law, she goes, "Well, I'm glad that you're doing everything, Nicole, but I think those people, their own country should help them. We shouldn't be helping them." And so I asked John, I said, "What would you say to that, John?" He goes, "Well," he's like, "then do it. Get out there and do it. Do what you feel passionate about." He goes, don't put a damper on my passion. My passion is helping kids all over the globe learn to read, and I'm passionate about that, and I want, and he's made a huge impact
right,
with this.
Right.
And so I'm the same way. I learn about all kinds of charities. I'm always aware of what's going on locally and globally and in my town and in my state, and I promote everybody when I can, because I think everybody that's doing something for a purpose with passion, it's totally valid, but you have to find that for yourself. And so if I'm passionate about global literacy, let me help others. You can't knock me for helping others.
Right, exactly.
But if you're passionate about animals or the soup kitchen or local literacy, get out there and
right.
start reading to people, start right. teaching, start sharing your knowledge, sharing your skills with to help others. So that's my answer. So
no, hopefully absolutely. I agree. Yeah, because there are, you know, some people, well, I only do that. And again, it's true from a participation perspective, both in terms of volunteering your time and also when you are writing checks, because as business owners, Joe and I are approached all the time, give us money for this, and every year we sit down and we really, as an office, we sit down and talk about all of our values and what we're interested in, and that really helps us keep our decisions, because otherwise we'd be giving all of our money away. Which would be,
when you look at it even from an international perspective, lack of education, lack of knowledge just breeds fear. Extreme ideology leading to violence, because people will act out on that fear, thinking that somehow, because they don't know a better way, this is the only way to do it. So I think in the long run, by taking advantage of something like this organization that is promoting reading, which leads to greater knowledge, you're taking a lot of the fear and the extremism out of the actions of many from different parts of the world. It's a good thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Especially for women. I mean, my mom was the same way. She grew up in a family, four boys, two girls. I mean, four girls, two boys, and they said the boys would be going to college. They were saving for college for the boys, but the girls were going to – my aunt became a nurse. Mm-hmm. The rest of them got secretarial jobs, got married, had kids, and
right.
it frustrated my mom so much. She went back to school after she had us, but it was a mentality.
Right.
And she – luckily for our generation, we had the choice to go to college, to do whatever we want to be, become whoever we want to be. And I think for a lot of girls in the developing world, they're forced to get married at 11 or 12.
Right.
And to someone that's 10 years their senior, they're not ready to be adults. They're not ready to be mothers. They're not ready to be married. But they're forced to because the culture dictates that. Then they're having children, and they're not having a child in a hospital where it's safe. They die in childbirth so much. I'm reading a book right now about a Peace Corps midwife in Mali, and she talks about all the dangers in the childbirth process.
Right.
There's no sterilization. There's nothing. So either the mother, and then this midwife ends up, the one that she trained with ends up dying in childbirth herself years later.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's heartbreaking.
Oh my gosh.
So,
yeah.
So a lot of these girls are dying in childbirth, and so if we can educate the community, educate the parents who are often illiterate themselves, that A, if you educate your daughter, she's not going to die in childbirth. If she sticks to her education, she can earn more money than the entire extended family combined, and it lifts up the entire community just by educating a girl. So
absolutely.
Girls are a good investment all the world over.
I agree. for many reasons. I mean, even a lot of the studies are showing that having women serve on boards, both on a corporate level and on a nonprofit level, are making those companies more profitable because it adds that extra level of diversity and intuition and insight from females. And actually, that's the focus of our summit this year through our Women's Business Forum. Our summit in April is going to be focusing on moving women forward in business. And so our keynote will be covering a lot of those areas in terms of investing in girls and investing in women, and how far we've come, how much further we still have yet to come, but really surrounding a lot of energy around that. And as you mentioned, especially globally, you know, it's shocking, you know, that there are still countries where, I mean, my daughter would be married at this point. I can't even imagine, you know, she's in sixth grade now and she's loving school and she's learning so much. I can't imagine her being forced to be married and start a family of her own at such a young age. And again, as you mentioned, once we can get those communities educated, but as you also mentioned, in their own language with their own culture, not having, you know, some hotshot from the U.S. coming in and telling them how to do it, but having their own people from their own communities teaching each other and sharing that knowledge and then bringing the whole community up. I think that's just huge. And I know it's one of your goals, too, at some point, you know, when the kids are older, to be able to travel to some of these parts of the world and physically be out there helping and teaching and volunteering to actually see it. Because it's one thing to hear about it, to read about it, to watch documentaries about it, and it's a whole other experience to be out there doing it. So,
yes. And you mentioned the local, in addition to the local country directors, in a lot of these countries, kids have never had books to read in their own language.
Right.
Like I mentioned, the first books that John brought were in English. But now what... Again, being an entrepreneur, John and the staff looked at what the problem was, that there were no local languages available for a lot of these kids in these countries, and so Room to Read decided to go into the publishing business. So they hired local authors, local illustrators, again, hiring from the local community, developing stories, and they've published over 1,000 original titles in the languages of these countries. So these kids, for the first time, have picture books with relative stories dealing with their history and their culture, and they're in their own language that they can actually read once they learn to read, which is
right.
is critical, because they're not going to learn to read English if they can't read their own language first.
Exactly. It's nice to look through the picture books from our children's books, but to actually be able to read them and, as you mentioned, have them pertain to their own culture and their own history and everything. That's amazing. That's really, really cool.
So that draws them into reading, and then you can expand your knowledge, because reading is what opens up the world of imagination and travel and learning about other cultures, because then everything opens up to you and you can read about everything all over the world.
Right.
You can do self-help. You can learn a subject matter. You can learn a language. Mm-hmm. So, but you have to start with the basic of literacy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So why don't you share again with some of the resources that are available out there? You mentioned that Room to Read has a YouTube channel. They obviously have a website. You know, locally, if listeners are interested in volunteering and helping out with Room to Read, how would they go about doing that?
Go to roomtoread.org and you can search for chapters. So we are the New Jersey chapter. Or again, you can email me directly, rtrnicolesmith@gmail.com. And we have the event at the Princeton Library tomorrow night. We have different things going on, small things going on, because, again, we encourage people to come up with their own fundraiser or awareness builder, whether it's you get your book club to read one of John's books, or if you want to host a cooking party at your house and feature some of the recipes from our cookbook. There's a lot of different ideas. And on the website, it's roomtoread.org, take action. Kids can get involved. Schools can get involved. People can get involved. I can come speak. I'm speaking to our middle school in December. They're having a giving back day, so I'm going to be speaking there. I've spoken at Rotary. I've spoken at churches. So I do love public speaking. That was one of the greatest things for me, is I continue to learn and grow, and I never would have thought I would have been a public speaker, but I joined Toastmasters so that I could more effectively talk about Room to Read, and met a whole other group of incredible people through that organization. It's just amazing. And yeah, I hit the jackpot with you. You've introduced me to so many great people in Hunterdon.
I hit the jackpot with you, because, you know, it's just like I said, every time Nicole and I get together for coffee, it's just the conversations we have and the ideas we come up with, and it's just so much, it's so fun.
It's a lot of fun. That's why I keep saying I feel guilty, because I'm having so much fun helping other people, but I'm having so much fun.
And that's how it should be. I mean, as you mentioned, you know, and as we all know, when you find out things that you're passionate about, it's not work, it's fun, and that's really how it should be. And it's great to see more and more people embracing that, and as we talked about before, more and more companies and organizations embracing that as well, because, you know, we're only on this earth once. Well, maybe more than once, we don't really know for sure, but we might as well make the most, you know, enjoy the time that we're here and really be passionate about the things that we're involved with and the people that we're helping. I think those things are hugely important.
And go to your skill set. I have one friend, and she goes, well, I'm not a people person. I'm not a public speaker. I don't like fundraising. But she said, give me the email list, and I'll organize it for you, and I'll go through it. And she, so it was something she could do on her own in her pajamas that she could help. Mm-hmm. So it's whatever you feel like doing. There's all kinds of ways to help.
Oh, absolutely. Most definitely. You know, that's a thing that Joe and I talk about a lot as far as focusing on your strengths. You know, we all have things in life that we really, they're not our favorite things to do, but we all still have to do them. But if everybody focuses on their strengths, that adds more energy and more passion around whatever it is you're doing. And so there's certain things, as mentioned, that I really enjoy doing and that I'm good at doing, and I'd much rather be doing those things than the other things. But other people love doing those things that I don't like to do, and vice versa, and that kind of stuff. So everything ends up, you know, again, kind of that energy bursting and helping all around. So what are some other things, as we wrap up today's show, some things that you might want to share with our listeners, either about yourself, about some of the ongoing activities with Room to Read, about Room to Read in general?
I've transitioned more into an advisory role because I've just been so busy, and I really want to accelerate the growth of Room to Read. Room to Read is accelerating its growth by teacher training and expanding to other countries and other regions, because the whole goal, as the Microsoft dictates, is go big, scalable, sustainable, extendable. And so I'm trying to just get to as many people as I want or as I can to tell them about ways to help. So contact me and we can have a conversation. And there's examples. Again, go to the website, roomtoread.org. Donate for Giving Tuesday. My big slogan this year is, let's focus on giving less stuff and more to support, less stuff and more support to your favorite organization, because we all have too much stuff.
Yes,
and
we do.
There's a lot of organizations that need our support. And so give your time, give your talent, give your treasure, give your energy, give your voice to those less fortunate than you, because it benefits everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. We really enjoyed having you on our show today. And thanks again, listeners, for tuning in. In case there are those of you that are just tuning in, as you know, replays are available through HuntertonChamberRadio.com. They should be available sometime tomorrow. You can go in and download through HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's been wonderful having Nicole on our show, and I'm sure we'll have her back again. It's been fun having her here. When I saw her a couple months ago, I said, ooh, we'll have you on Giving Tuesday. How perfect would that be? So
thank you so much.
So we'll wrap up today's show of Some Things About Money here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Any extra words of wisdom for us today, Joe? You were awfully quiet today.
Say hi, go shopping. There's still a lot of outstanding deals at all of our businesses here in Hunterdon County. So go out there, buy Hunterdon, buy often.
Absolutely. Buy local, buy often. Check out the Room to Read event going on tomorrow at the Princeton Public Library. Don't forget to get your cookbooks.
Oh, and by the way, if you cannot happen to attend the Card Club on Thursday evening, but you would like to make a donation, Michelle, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Best way to do that would be to contact the chamber, so 908-782-7115, or stop by the chamber office here on Mine Street. The YMCA Angel Patrol, if you go to their website, they do have a list of some of the things that are needed, because after a while they get so many board games, so many of the same things, that it's good to, you know, share, you know, spread things out. I know things like gift cards are also needed, because that way the receiving children and adults can go out and, you know, be able to get to a store and pick something out themselves, that kind of stuff. So anything that you can do is certainly appreciated by the chamber, appreciated by the YMCA Angel Patrol, and appreciated by all the other organizations that are out there that all of you are supporting. So thank you. Thank you for listening to Some Things About Money today. As Joe mentioned, have a great day. Great rest of your week. Don't forget to buy local and buy Hunterdon.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Many have seen it as a settled law, but with a new president on his way to the White House, maybe all bets are off, as we hear from Sarah Jacobs.
President-elect Donald Trump tweeted this morning there must be consequences for people who burn the American flag, possibly a year in jail or loss of citizenship. The Supreme Court ruled in 1989 flag burning is a form of free speech protected by the First Amendment.
Yesterday, Vice President-elect Mike Pence tells reporters,
"It's going to be a busy week."
Pence advising reporters to buckle up for a busy week of announcements from the president-elect. Donald Trump today is reportedly going to be announcing that he's chosen the health policy consultant Seema Verma to be administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and U.S. Representative Tom Price to be Secretary of Health and Human Services. Late word that the government says the economy grew at 3.2% in the third quarter. This is USA Radio News.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late.